So it declares God's holiness, the law does, but it also declares man's wretched depravity. Again, if you come away from reading the law with any other thought than I am the sinner, then again, you're not seeing things aright. Paul said that in Romans 3, that the law was given, why? That every mouth might be stopped. And that the whole world be found guilty before him. He said, well, where's the hope? That's the third reason the law was given. That the hope should not be in any one of us, but in the Lord Jesus Christ. That the law foresaw, I read it for you there in Hebrews 10, just before the message. The law was a shadow, foreshadowing things to come. It pointed sinners to Christ, just like the signs to the city of refuge to run to him. You say, well, why aren't these running? Well, they were blind. Don't run where you don't fear. And these were self-confident in that temple. They were self-confident in their personal obedience to the law. They were self-confident in their ceremonies and traditions. That's why if I were ever invited to preach in some of these denominational congregations, they wouldn't endure long because they're looking around thinking, well, he's preaching goes against everything we stand for here. We can't have this. There are people that are so, they've got a death grip, rigor mortis, on their traditions and on their customs and on their supposed good works that even to death they won't let go. And I'll tell you, that would be our state as well if God had left us where we were. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul, does it to the destruction of his own soul. What does it destroy the soul but to be cast upon a hope that's not a good hope? Someone other, something other than Christ. A wound and dishonor shall he get, and his reproach shall not be wiped away. For jealousy is the rage of a man, wherefore he will not spare the day of vengeance. Think about what Paul wrote to the Galatians when they began to, after having heard Christ preach, they began to go back to the law. And what did he say? He said, when I came unto you, I espoused you unto the Lord as a chaste virgin. That's what he said. And now you begin to look away. You begin to look around at other ways of acceptance with God. What can be the end? Stop. He speaks there of being jealous over them. And that's the same word here, for jealousy is the rage of a man. Think about how God is jealous over his son and that bride that he has married to his son. If any pretend to be of that bride, this is the rage of a man here, if any pretend to be of that bride and yet continue to prostitute themselves in other ways, how great will be that vengeance. He will not spare in the day of vengeance. People ask that all the time, say, how could a God of love prepare hell for souls of men and women that he condemns? Well, I'll tell you how. It's because he loves his righteousness. He loves his glory. He loves his son. And he loves those that are in his son. So, if any end up in hell, it's not because God at one point loved them and now he's changed his mind. That's not it. Those whom God loves, he saves and he draws and he corrects and he brings again in himself. But if any are not spared, that vengeance is a just vengeance. He will not spare in the day of vengeance. One to stand between, a go-between, one among a thousand to show unto man his uprightness. I don't read that wrongly. To show unto man God's uprightness. We're nothing but sin, but he is always just in what he does. And when the Lord so deals with one of his own, then, verse 24, he is gracious unto me and saith, deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. This is Elihu pointing Job to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God's ransom. That he despair of himself and that he be utterly cast on the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Now, did Job know that his name would be Jesus, or that he'd be born in Bethlehem? Oh, no. But these of the Old Testament knew that there was one that God had appointed who should come and be their Savior, be their Redeemer. I've found a ransom. You can see the connection there between salvation and the ransom. Where there's a ransom, there's salvation. Without a ransom, there's no salvation. So God has purposed salvation for those that he has chosen as his children, and it's by that ransom death. That's what a ransom is. It's a payment. Not in the blood of bulls and goats, but in this one. Deliver him from going to the pit. I have found a ransom.